This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Texter, my nephew can sell Callis a bus. Is he still interested? Sean, would you help lead the charge for Harry to acquire his bus? I think he has like three cars.
Well, he's got a van, I believe.
He does have a van.
And he showed me it, and there's like a little secret area that he could put like
a secret area in the van, Sean.
I don't want to say too much, but... Yeah, one time I went golfing with him. It was myself, intern Dom, and Callis.
Oh, I heard that once. Well,
it wasn't great, but he was showing off his van to us afterwards. He was very excited to show us the little compartments.
Show you the van.
Yes.
Be careful with Harry's van there.
I did not get inside it.
That's probably
I think
the best.
There was some candy he was offering, but I decided just to admire it from a distance.
Well, the Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Nick Faribault of Penn Live joins us now.
Nick, it's a pleasure to have you. I don't believe we've ever spoken before. You're a recent graduate of Slippery Rock. Am I right about that?
No.
Nick, if Harry Callis offered to take you for a ride in his van, would you accept?
I don't know. I've never met Callis.
Really? I've never put that in the works.
Yeah, we've actually never crossed paths, believe it or not. So I don't know. I'd have to judge first. So I'll go with better judgment. I probably would. Usually, you know, as long as they're acquaintances with people I know, I will usually. But I don't know. I don't know Callis. So maybe.
That's a interaction I think we're going to have to set up. But first, the Steelers have announced the throwback uniforms that they will wear against the Green Bay Packers Sunday Night Football. Intern Dom has chimed in saying these suck. There seemed like there's mixed reaction. Crowley gives it a 7 out of 10. Pat Freiermuth and Alex Highsmith modeling the jerseys that are the 1933 throwbacks from the original Steeler uniforms. What do you make of it? And what do you make of the gold helmet that they debuted? I'm with Crowley. I think I give it a 7 out of 10. I kind of like these throwbacks. A lot of people wanted the Bumblebees back, but I feel like if you have a throwback, you're just not going to go back to it. You know, like you're throwing back to the throwback.
Yeah, so I was in an entirely different camp. I was hoping they were going to have all white throwbacks.
That's a great pick.
Jersey in the early 1970s. That is really nice. That'll come at some point, but I hope they do it sooner rather than later. I love the helmet. I think the helmet's great. Gold helmet's awesome. I think they should always have a gold helmet. It works with a lot of different things. I'm not a huge fan of the jersey. I think the jersey's a little harsh. Just the design is a little overcrowded to a degree. It is ugly in the way that a 1930s throwback uniform should be ugly.
But we all thought the Bumblebees were ugly until they put them on the field and they played so well in them.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, the Bumblebees, actually, when you look back at it, I mean, aren't that bad. It like makes sense. But this one is just, it's not cohesive to me. I'm not a huge fan of beige pants, but then again, it's a 1933 pants. So, I mean, I'm not surprised by that. I'm not a huge fan of the jersey pant combo, to be quite honest with you. Aesthetically, I respect the historical choices around it. But I'm not a huge aesthetic fan of that. But I love the helmet. I absolutely love the gold helmet.
All right, Nick. Wednesday, report day to St. Vincent College. First day of practice open to the public is on Thursday. What is the number one thing that you want to ask somebody, and who is it, going into camp?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, I have two really big questions I want to ask. First is to Jalen Ramsey, what's your role going to be? I think that's so huge to figuring out how this defense is going to play and how this secondary is going to play. I mean, if Jalen Ramsey's your slot corner, outside corner, not doing much safety, and is kind of your sub-package extraordinaire, I think that changes a lot of things. So I think that's really important. And the second one is actually to T.J. Watt, and it is really, how is your game going to evolve as you get to your 30s? You know, are you going to go away from speed? You're going to try and get more into your power side of your game. He looks bigger in those photos he had with Herbig last week, right before he signed the contract. Wouldn't surprise me if he's going to try and focus more on power, moving around the formation, things like that, man. If he's going to make this contract worth it, he's going to have to evolve. His game's going to have to change. He can't just be a primary speed rusher at 33 years old in 2 years, which is where he'll be. So I'm really interested to see all of those. So those two things are actually my biggest questions, and it's on the defensive side of the football.
What about if he's actually going to move around a little bit in the defense? Like, will Mike Tomlin, will Terrell Austin put him in a position where he has the best matchups possible? Because that's something that, like, look, Cleveland will move Myles Garrett around. If everybody loves to compare the two, why does T.J. Watt have to be stationary in his position?
Yeah, I mean, that's a TJ thing to a degree, I think. I think TJ likes to play all over the right tackle. He's static. He's just really good there. He's more productive there. The stats bear that out. When he does switch sides, he's not as effective. But he does need to move around. Teams just teed off on him. And I do think that's a big question to ask, and one of the big questions to ask. Because, listen, when we asked him at the end of last season, he said he wanted to move around. So how has his training been going, right? I mean, you can obviously improve from one side and over the A gap and over the B gap. Alex Highsmith said in May that they're going to do it. So it seems like that's going to be something coming to the Steelers defense. It should have been there a long time ago, because T.J. Watt, when you look at it, Austin, I mean, he's the only star pass rusher in the NFL that doesn't move sides. Yeah. I mean, he just is. Every other pass rusher switches sides. You have guys that stand on one side predominantly, which is fine, but you got to mix it up a little bit to mess with protections, to help others come free. And the Steelers need to do more than just moving him around, too. They need to overload blitz to his side. They need to stunt. They need to do other things, too, to help him when he is at over the right tackle in a wide nine. So there's a lot of things going there. But moving him around is so basic and I think so easy to do, just to give teams a little look and help T.J. Watt a little bit.
Have you heard anything about a wide receiver or a safety maybe appearing in a hot air balloon or in a helicopter or any big arrivals that will happen this year for like a new player, like maybe Justin Simmons, Gabe Davis? Could they add at that position at the start of camp or at some point during?
I do think we're going to see someone added at some point. I do think, you know, wide receiver, they've continued exploring that market. It's never gone cold, so we'll see. I do think Gabe Davis is probably the likeliest one in that market just because he's vet minimum. You can kind of fit him in there pretty easily. Fits what they like to do at wide receiver too. At safety, I think they have a few coals in the fire there. So I do think we're going to see someone come in at some point. I'm not sure it's going to happen tomorrow or Wednesday. But we've seen mid-camp signings before. Quan Alexander was signed in the middle of training camp. They traded for Joe Schobert in the middle of training camp. It's not unrealistic to see them do that. They're also, I think, going to really look at the waiver wire when, you know, cut down day comes along to see if there's someone out there that they really like. So I think we're going to see people added to both of those rooms before the 53-man roster is finalized, before they head to New York.
Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Bigger need for a significant season this year, Nick. Broderick Jones or Joey Porter Jr.?
I mean, it's Broderick Jones, no matter what. Not that Joey doesn't need to have a big year, but Broderick is literally not going to be starting next year if he doesn't have a good year. I mean, we're talking about territory where the Steelers are probably going to move off him this year if he doesn't play well. It just is that bad. I mean, you look at the tape last year, Austin, and I watched this tape back. I've kind of gone back since January just to watch some of the tape to refresh myself before I go to camp. And, I mean, he was a disaster last year. I think that's an appropriate word. He was awful. You know, just blown mental assignments, technique all over the map. He was worse than, you know, the live watch, I think, show. The tape is bad. So if they can get average play out of him, I think that's a victory this year. That's the right step in the direction. So I think Broderick Jones has to have a bigger year than Joey Porter Jr., and he has a lot of pressure on him as the left tackle, too.
When would you expect Caleb Johnson to significantly factor into the offense? Like, do you think it's going to be a 50-50 balance? Will Warren start out with 70% of the carries? I'd imagine that Warren is going to be RB1 when they start training camp drills. But how much do you think that Johnson could start to run with the first team?
Well, I do think that he's going to start with a significant role right away. But I don't think he's going to start right away. I think Jalen Warren will start. And listen, Warren's such a good running back. I think he's going to have a really good year. I mean, wouldn't shock me if he staves off Johnson the whole year. I think he's very underrated. But I do think, you know, we're talking November, December-ish probably is realistic to where I think we can think of Caleb Johnson potentially flipping kind of the load. So my guess is, you know, week one, we're going to see something to the effect of a 60 to 40 split, somewhere around there. I do think Kenny Gainwell is going to factor into that as well. I think he's going to play a little bit. So I think we're going to see three running backs probably this year to a degree. So maybe more like, I don't know, 55, 35 between those two. And then you get Gainwell in there as well. But I think by, you know, the end of the year, we can see it kind of approach something like an even split, or maybe even KJ getting more, you know, 50% of the snaps. I think he's going to play a ton on early downs. I really think that's where he's going to eat early on. He's going to run the ball. His pass pro is a big work in progress. He's not a natural receiver. Didn't really do it a lot at Iowa. He showcased natural hands in the spring, so I thought that was encouraging. But his receiving side of the game and the pass side of the game, pass pro, has a lot of work to do before he can take over that role. And until he does, Jalen Warren's just going to play a lot. He's such a good pass pro guy. He's a great receiver out of the backfield. So until that changes, I think Warren's going to get the line share of the carries. But the early down work, I think we can see a lot of Caleb Johnson there.
Sean, the thought of leaving you out of this conversation leaves Malzi very sad.
Well, I would like to ask a question to Nick. So everyone has been without NFL football for so many months that there's such excitement once training camp does finally open that people seem to react and maybe overreact to everything. What do you think will be the biggest overreaction to the training camp as a whole, especially the early stages of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to be something to the effect of Aaron Rodgers is like MVP form or something like that. Everything just reaches like a fever pitch at training camp because guys make really good plays. They're athletic. They have great natural tools. And Rodgers has great natural tools still. He's going to make great wowing throws that people are going to be like, this guy's still in 2022 MVP form. And we just won't know that until he gets on a football field, until he gets on a live football field where he is tackled and pressured. We will not know that. So that'll be one overreaction. You know, you're probably going to see some hype for the wide receivers and Juan Thornhill, I'm sure. And people are going to try and convince you that wide receiver two and safety aren't issues. We get that every year where maybe remember last year, Van Jefferson's having a great camp.
Yeah. Oh, the camp darlings. The guy.
Right. And it just happens. And Calvin and Roman are going to have good camps. I guarantee it because they are the type of wide receivers that have good camps and good practices. And I think they actually are solid pieces. I think they're solid players, but those are both issues. So, you know, between all those storylines, you're going to see, I mean, the biggest overreaction is probably going to be the wide receiver and safety rooms, I'm assuming, because we're going to see people probably say those guys are fixes. But the tape last year, I think, would.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Not agree with that in a lot of ways, but we'll see overreactions across the board.
Is Juan Thornhill as bad as we think he is, and we shouldn't talk ourselves into thinking he can be a starter?
Well, how bad do you think he is?
Well, I think he's probably a bottom 7 or 8 safety in the NFL. Like, I don't think he's somebody that should be...
Like a starting safety? Yeah.
Yeah, starting safety. I don't think he's somebody that can significantly factor in for them. Like, Joe thinks that it's a... it's not big of a trade-off between Minkah and Juan Thornhill, where, look, whether they were hiding Minkah, Nick, playing him so far off the ball, or Minkah just doesn't have it anymore, part of that is true, but I'd still rather have him over Juan Thornhill, who had more calf injuries than the White Sox scored runs over the weekend. Like... this is not a guy who is a significant factor into the defense. Or I think really,
yeah, I mean,
you know, I just don't think that he really has it anymore. He's kind of maybe not washed is the right word, but he's not a starter anymore.
He had a calf issue last year, a shoulder issue, and his tackling showed it. He was a real bad tackler in open space. Listen, as a free safety, you're supposed to be the last line of defense. You're supposed to save those yak plays from turning into touchdowns. Minkah did a great job of that. Not that you pay $23 million per year to do that, but he did do that. Thornhill last year oftentimes would just whiff on guys, and that really forced the Browns, when they are man-to-man, to do a lot of different things, because the catch-and-run stuff last year hurt them a lot because Thornhill would miss tackles. He'd take bad angles. I thought that was an issue. He's still a ball hawk. I think that's part of it. If he can stay healthy, can he maybe try and find his previous form with the Chiefs? I guess he could. I can't rule it out completely, but I think that's talking yourself into something that you have no evidence of. And so while that would be great and I think would be a welcome surprise and everything, I do think that Thornhill's not a very good starter. I loved Juan Thornhill actually as a third safety. I love the idea of it, you know, roaming the deep middle, being a guy that can make plays on the ball. I think that's a good idea. But having him as a starter, I think, is a real reach for Pittsburgh right now. So, I mean, I would go out and, you know, we talk about Justin Simmons. We talk about Julian Blackmon. We talk about one of those two guys. I'd go out and sign one of them, slot them in as the starter, keep Thornhill as the third safety. And if Thornhill ends up finding form, great.
Nick Faribault is on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Nick from Penn Live. All right, Nick, do you think that we could see a little bit more Jalen Ramsey at safety to basically eliminate the idea of Thornhill there, where instead of, they're going to bounce Ramsey around a lot, whether it's the slot, outside corner, maybe even at safety. Do you see a lot of the times where it's just going to be the three corners, Slay, Ramsey, Joey Porter Jr., and Elliott, and that is just entirety of their secondary? Maybe Beanie Bishop factors in?
I'll say this. I don't see Jalen Ramsey ever playing safety in base. I don't think that's a thing. I do think in sub packages, he can do it a little bit. He could be the third safety, if you will, in some of those nickel dime packages. Remember when Cam Sutton was the dime backer and sometimes he would rotate back and become a safety and do different things? I think Ramsey can do that. So I think we can see him there. So like a pseudo safety, but not really a true safety yet. I think he's still a little bit away from having to make that move. Where I do think we're going to see him a lot this year, I think he's your starting slot corner, and I think they're going to play nickel more than they have really recent memory. So I think he's going to be in there a lot. I'm interested to see who the sixth defensive back will be. You know, you mentioned that, right? I mean, who is the sixth defensive back in dime? Is it Beanie? Is it Corey Trice? Is it, you know, is it someone else?
James Pierre for the 10th year in a row.
Right. Who's it going to be? I don't know. I think it's an interesting question of who that guy is going to be. But what I do think is, Jalen Ramsey is going to be like this matchup super piece that you can use in sub packages. You need him to take on a tight end 1 week? Sure, he can do that. You need him to take on a receiver the next? Go do that. You need him to be a blitzer, run support chip? He can do all that. So you can do a lot of different things with him as a piece because he's such an impact player around the line of scrimmage and around that area of the field. Whereas Minkah was a big-time impact player 20 yards down the football field. And I think that's what the Steelers are hoping here. They get versatility closer to the line of scrimmage, to take away quick game, to maybe play a little more man-to-man. So I don't think we're going to see Jalen Ramsey in a true safety role really ever, but kind of a pseudo-safety role. It's very similar to how the Ravens use Marlon Humphrey. it's kind of similar to how the Chiefs use Trent McDuffie. Something like that is, I think, how we're going to see him more than, say, Kyle Hamilton or Brian Branch.
Yeah, also younger, more athletic guys right now, at least the prime of their career. So I wonder, why not Slay? Like, why not move Darius Slay back to safety in a base? Like, you know, not everybody could be Rod Woodson and move from corner to safety, but Darius Slay in what could be his final year, that might be the right avenue for him.
It could be. I mean, Slay's never been a great tackler. He's been a solid tackler. I think that's one deterrent. Ramsey fits the profile of a safety because he can tackle. Yeah. He can blitz. He can do all of that. So he fits that really well. But also, you're not trading safety for safety. That's just not something you're doing, I think. So I don't think any of the corners are moving to safety. I think that their safety answer right now is Juan Thornhill and Deshaun Elliott, and they're going to have to sign somebody to bring in another one. I don't think anyone's switching to safety. So while I think Slay could do it, I also am just not sure how much I want a 35-year-old built for outside corner body flipping over to safety. It's just a more physical position. I'm not sure if Slay's body at 34 going to be 35 can handle that with the frame he has. He'd probably have to bulk up a little bit. So there's a few concerns I have with that too. But I think, you know, when you look at safety answers, they're not internal, they're external.
Aaron Rodgers in his first and potentially only training camp with the Steelers. What are you keeping an eye on from Rodgers? Obviously, he's the starter. Everybody's going to overreact to what he does in camp. It's just natural. It's going to happen. It's Aaron Rodgers. There's pressure, four-time MVP. There's going to be a ton of that. What are you watching for from Rodgers, and what do you want to see from him just to make sure that he still has it as we go into him probably playing just one preseason game?
I mean, I'd like to see the mobility flash a little bit, just to see him run around a little bit so he's not a statue. We saw a little bit of that last year where he started to move a little bit around at the end of the last year. So I want to see a continuation of that, the mobility at least being a factor where you can do bootlegs and go under center and do things like that. What I really want to see is the accuracy. You know, I think this might not be getting talked about enough, but when you watch his tape from last year, Austin, he missed a lot of like throws he shouldn't have missed. And it's just throws Rodgers doesn't miss typically. And some of it was, I think, the Achilles injury kind of weighing on his mind still. The footwork wasn't as clean. So he had some bad misses, particularly down the football field last year. So I'm looking for that kind of mid-dish deep accuracy, seeing if that flashes back in. I have no question the arm is still live. He's still got the arm strength. I saw enough in 3 days at minicamp to know that. But I am interested in those two things specifically. And then I'm always interested just to see how he kind of ingratiates himself into the Steelers locker room. I think that's another important thing.
Last one for you before we let you go. TJ Watt got his extension. The idea of extensions are always floated out there at training camp. Who could be the next in line? Do you think that the Steelers are done? Or is there somebody else that is going to get an extension in camp?
So I wouldn't be surprised if they're done, but if there's one player they're going to extend, I would guess it's going to be Jaylen Warren. That's who I would say is a potential guy. I think they like Jaylen Warren. I think they like what he brings to the table, and he's a perfect complement to Caleb Johnson. So Caleb Johnson, you know, becomes the star everyone hopes he can be. Jaylen Warren can still be a really good complement, and we see a lot of these really good backfields now having the 1-2 punch. You know, you think of Detroit with the Dave Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. You got that kind of speed, power element. Warren and KJ can actually be a very similar duo in some ways to that. And it's such a running back-centric, tight end-centric offense. You know, you're putting a lot of money into the tight end position. I don't think it hurts, given where you're at, to pay Jaylen Warren for 2 years, say, have him under contract there, and really keep this together. That way you don't need a running back next year. I think it makes a lot of sense for them to look at Jaylen Warren, get him for cheap, and bring him back.
Nick, appreciate your time. Always good talking to you. Enjoy camp. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me on.
That's our guy, Nick Faribault of Penn Live. How about that, Sean? Pretty sweet for Jaylen Warren to potentially receive an extension. I thought he was going to go with potentially Calvin Austin, because I know Nick in the past has said Calvin Austin would be a likely candidate to receive an extension, but he's going with Jaylen Warren.
I guess it depends. Can they get him for a really affordable rate? Because we've already seen they didn't want to commit any money to Najee Harris. They declined his option. it would be curious to me if they gave Warren a decent amount of money to stick around when you think, in all likelihood, he's probably not going to be your top running back in a couple of years.
Yeah.
But if they could do it on the cheap, I don't think that that's necessarily a bad move. But yeah, that would not have been – you rarely think about running backs getting extensions unless they're clear-cut superstar guys.
Yes.
And obviously Jaylen Warren has not proven to be that. So that was a little surprising. But, you know, again, you mentioned they need to invest more money on the offensive side. I guess that's maybe a very small step towards doing that. We've already seen them give a lot of money to DK Metcalf. They're paying two tight ends pretty good money now. So if they think that they've got a guy that they could get, you know, at a reasonable price for not a long-term extension, then maybe it does make sense.
Yeah, I would be surprised by that if Jaylen Warren was ultimately the guy. I think they're probably done. Like, play it out with Warren for another year, because if Caleb Johnson becomes a stud for them and becomes a number one back, don't you think that they would just keep him and then not pay Warren? Kind of like how they decided not to pay Najee. So that would be a little bit surprising for me. Warren's been a good back for them, but just in spurts. Like, I don't think he's a lead guy that you would want to pay RB1 type of money.
I guess the question would be, do they think Johnson is one of those rare running backs, because there's not many of them anymore, that could be a clear bell cow 2 years down the road? If not, you're going to have to bring someone else in to compliment him, whether that be a free agent signing or drafting another guy. So maybe they say, why bother doing that when we already have a guy here that we know can fill that role?
Well, even if it's 80-20, like if Caleb Johnson takes 80% of the carries and then you factor in, you know, the Fitz Toussaint of the world and D'Angelo Williams was here with Le'Veon Bell and
I think Gainwell's a decent guy. But I don't know that that's going to be another guy that they would. What was his contract for? Was it just 1 year?
Yeah, just 1 year. You see, that's the thing. Like, I think Gainwell's probably their third down back.
Yeah.
At least in a lot of instances.
I always thought he was good in Philadelphia.
Obviously,
he didn't get an extended opportunity because he had a revolving door of different guys in front of him, including Miles Sanders and then DeAndre Swift and now obviously Saquon. But every time I saw him get opportunities, it seemed like he was at least, worst case scenario, a serviceable running back.
The Sean Myers report. What are we calling this? It's the Limitless Express, but with Sean.
So Donnie one time called it the Sean segment, which is like the most boring nickname ever. And that's why it needs to stick.
That's why it needs to stick.
It's the least amount of effort ever to put into something. So the Sean segment.
The Sean segment is up next. Anything to tease to the Sean segment?
We're going to cover a few different sports. We'll talk baseball. We'll talk WNBA.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe I even have a surprise or two. A former Pirate might make the Sean segment.
Okay. Looking forward to it. And then we will get back to the Steelers at the top of the hour and take your calls at 412-928-9370. The top five things that we're looking forward to, or more so keeping an eye on, I should say, at Steelers training camp beginning on Wednesday. 412-928-9370 if you would like to continue to chime in. Sean, we also have Pony League World Series tickets that we need to give away.
Wow, I did not know about this. This is exciting news. So not Andrew Filippone.
Not Andrew Filippone tickets.
No one would be calling for those tickets.
Would people call to watch Pony play a baseball game? They showed up for
Celebrity
Softball.
I was going to say that kind of just happened. I guess, you know, baseball could see how many people like Doran could take him yard.
So call now to win four tickets to the Pony League World Series at Lou Hayes Pony Field from August 8th to the 13th. Caller number three to our dear friend Sean Myers at 412-928-9370 will win the tickets. It's the Sean segment up next. Then we'll get into more Steeler talk. We'll continue the Steeler talk in Sean's segment and get into more at the top of the hour as well. Austin Bechtold in for Joe and Bob. It's Pompin' Joe on a Monday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.